All right, ready to dive deep. Today, we're going deep with Danny Robert Dufour.
Oh, a fascinating contemporary French philosopher. Very sharp.
Yeah, he's taking on neoliberalism, but through a, well, an unexpected lens.
I'd say so.
Bernard Mandeville, an 18th century thinker. Not exactly a household name.
Right, but his ideas, well, they were, shall we say, a bit scandalous in his time.
Scandalous? How?
He argued that human vices, you know, greed, vanity, those not-so-pretty things, might actually drive social and economic progress.
So, like, our flaws make society work.
Private vices, public benefits, was his motto. Really shook things up back then.
It does sound a bit counterintuitive, like, almost like he's saying we need those vices.
That's Mandeville for you.
So, before, in a recent interview, and his book, The Perverse City, is connecting these ideas to today.
And that's our challenge today. Figuring out how an idea from the 1700s helps us understand our world now.
Yeah.
A world of, well, globalization, consumerism, and of course, the almighty market.
Right, the market. So to really grasp it before, why was Mandeville so controversial back then?
His argument was paradoxical. Let's think of it this way. Imagine a corrupt judge taking bribes.
Yeah, not exactly a role model.
No, but here's the paradox. The judge, driven by greed, built a lavish house with the money.
Okay, so who benefits?
Architects, builders, artists. The whole local economy gets a boost.
So a private vice, greed, leading to a public benefit.
Exactly. A classic Mandeville illustration.
And I'm guessing that didn't sit well with everyone back then.
Let's just say his most famous work, The Fable of the Bees, got him into hot water. A grand jury even called his theories licentious and diabolical.
Wow, they didn't mince words. So Dufour's saying that Mandeville basically, what, laid out a blueprint for how capitalism works.
That's precisely Dufour's argument. And a key part of that is what Mandeville called the policy of flattery.
Policy of flattery. That sounds more like, I don't know, royal court intrigue than modern economics.
But think of it this way. Not everyone can be rich or powerful.
Okay.
Right? But for society to work, people need to feel good about themselves, even if they're mostly, you know, self-interested.
And that's where the flattery comes in.
Exactly. You praise people, you praise their contributions to society, even if those contributions are, well, motivated by personal gain.
So it's like saying, hey, you might be working yourself to the bone, but look how much you're helping the economy.
Precisely. And Dufour argues that this policy of flattery is everywhere today. Advertising, social media, even how politicians frame their policies.
It's true. Like, consumerism tells us we deserve to indulge, that buying more is like self-expression and patriotism combined.
The brilliant observation.
Yeah,
this ties directly into how Mandeville saw society. Three categories. The dangerous class, the neurotic class, and the most interesting, the perverse class.
I color me intrigued. The perverse class. Lay it on me.
Well, the dangerous class, that's straightforward. Criminals, rebels, those who reject society's rules. The neurotic class, they're the good citizens. Work hard, follow the rules, believe in virtue, contributing to the common good.
And the perverse ones.
They're the ones who publicly preach virtue, but privately.
Mm-hmm.
All those vices we talked about?
Hypocrites, basically.
Well, they understand the system, they manipulate it, they rake in the wealth and power while seeming so moral. CEOs who talk about sustainability, but their companies pollute.
Or politicians who, I don't know, tout family values, but, well, engage in shady dealings.
That's the idea. So the perverse class, they're the ones calling the shots in our neoliberal world,
yeah,
according to Dufour.
Well, pulling the strings from the shadows.
He makes a strong case for it. They champion endless economic growth, deregulation, that whole greed is good philosophy.
Even when it leads to, you know, disaster and inequality.
Precisely. And it's not just Mandeville. Dufour traces these ideas through history. Like Adam Smith, considered the father of modern economics, he repackaged Mandeville.
Instead of vice, we get self-love. But isn't it the same underneath, just rebranded?
Exactly. And this sanitized Mandeville became the cornerstone of, well, classical economics, and then, of course, neoliberalism. Dufour points to Hayek, Friedman, their ideas about deregulation, privatization, shrinking government.
Huge influences on the global economy.
Right. So Dufour's claiming that our whole economic system is basically built on the ideas of a guy who said vices are good for society. But has it worked, this Mandevillian system?
Yeah, has it?
Well, on the surface, you could argue it has. Unprecedented wealth, technology, a higher standard of living for many. But Dufour digs deeper. He acknowledges the successes, but argues the price has been exorbitant.
The downsides. Inequality, climate change, all those things.
Exactly. He points to the extreme wealth gap. Figures like Elon Musk, Bernard Arnault, unimaginable fortunes.
While others struggle to survive.
On less than €5 a day. And the environmental cost. Pollution, resource depletion, a warming planet, all because of our relentless pursuit of growth.
We've traded a healthy planet for a booming stock market.
Stark way to put it, but it captures the dilemma. And these aren't just unintended side effects.
It's baked into the system.
Exactly, because the system's built on the idea that individual greed will magically lead to collective good. That invisible hand we hear so much about.
The one that's supposed to make sure everyone benefits.
Right, well, it seems to be malfunctioning. Or, maybe even more troubling, it's working exactly as intended. Just not for everyone.
Which takes us back to that perversity. What does Dufour mean by that exactly?
He's using it in a psychological sense, a deviation from, you know, what's considered normal or acceptable behavior.
Okay.
So the system encourages, rewards behaviors that ultimately harm individuals and society as a whole.
The system itself is twisted.
Precisely. And this perversity, it shows up in different ways, like how work has changed under capitalism.
You mean how it's gone from, like, a source of pride, craftsmanship, to something soul-crushing, meaningless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He traces back to the enclosures in England, forcing people off their land into factories.
Then Taylorism, Fordism, breaking work into tiny tasks.
Yeah.
People as cogs in a machine.
And Dufour sees this continuing. Automation, AI, threatening to make human labor obsolete.
Wow. Like, we're designing ourselves out of jobs. Oh, so many questions about the future of work then and what it means to be human.
The potential for mass unemployment, social unrest, it's a grim picture he paints.
It is. But is there any hope, any solutions Dufour offers to escape this Mandevillian mess?
That's where we'll pick up in part two of our deep dive.
So we've established this Mandevillian system, as Dufour calls it, pretty messed up, maybe more than it seems. But any solutions, any way out of this perverse logic, any hope?
He does offer solutions.
Yeah.
And they might surprise you. He believes that knowledge and culture, those are the antidotes.
Really? It seems, I don't know, a bit counterintuitive. How can knowledge and culture, which are often seen as like elite things, push back against something as huge as the market?
Well, think about it. Knowledge, culture. They're essential for critical thinking, ethical awareness, a sense of shared humanity.
All those things that the Mandevillian system kind of undermines.
Exactly. We need to arm ourselves, you could say, with the intellectual and moral tools to resist. Resist that constant pressure to consume, the obsession with individual success, profit at all costs.
So, like, we need to think differently to escape this.
We need to think and feel differently. Dufour believes education, cultural institutions, they're vital for this resistance.
But he's not talking about, like, just traditional schooling.
Right. No, a broader concept of education. Not just knowledge, but critical thinking, ethical awareness, self-reflection.
The whole person, not just stuffing facts into their heads.
Yes, cultivating the whole person. And he's very critical, you know, of what he sees as the increasing commodification of culture.
Everything becomes a product to be bought and sold.
Exactly. Even art, education's all caught up in it.
Yeah, it does feel like everything is branded these days.
Dufour argues we need to reclaim culture, make it a space for reflection, ethical exploration, deeper understanding of ourselves, the world.
So not just about accumulating facts, but wisdom.
Precisely. Using wisdom to navigate this complex modern life. And he's particularly critical, you know, of Pierre Bourdieu.
Another big name in sociology.
Yes. Bourdieu's theory of cultural reproduction, that culture mainly maintains the status quo, reinforces power structures.
He's saying that's too pessimistic.
Yeah. He sees culture as having potential to transcend divisions, create spaces for connection, understanding, real human connection.
I like that. But how do we do that? How do we achieve this cultural transformation when culture is so often used to manipulate us, you know, to sell us stuff, distract us from the real issues?
It's a challenge, for sure. Dufour doesn't have all the answers, but he does offer some interesting suggestions. One idea is what he calls conservatories.
Conservatories? Like for music?
Yeah.
Or art?
He's using it metaphorically.
Yeah.
These conservatories would be dedicated to preserving, transmitting knowledge, critical thinking, cultural heritage.
Like sanctuaries.
Sanctuaries for the things most threatened by this market-driven mindset. Spaces to cultivate the qualities we need to resist.
I like that. Pockets of resistance within the system. Places where we can imagine different ways of being.
But how do we do it? What would these conservatories look like in real life? That's where we come in.
It's up to us.
It's a collective project. We need to figure it out together. We need to become more aware. Aware of how this policy of flattery works. How our desires are manufactured. How the perverse class maintains its grip.
So develop a kind of critical consciousness.
Exactly. Seeing through the illusions the system throws at us. And that brings us to another key part of Dufour's analysis, money.
Okay, money.
Always a fun topic.
Dufour calls it the super fetish of our neoliberal society.
Super fetish. Wow. Okay. That's intense. What does he mean by that?
He's saying money has become an object of almost religious devotion. It promises everything, pleasure, power, fulfillment, but it stays hidden, concentrated in the hands of a few.
Like a golden calf we all worship.
A powerful image. And this worship leads to a collective madness. We become fixated on accumulating more and more, even when it's obviously empty, destructive.
It's not really about the money itself, right? It's what it represents. Status, security, that feeling of control.
Exactly. But even that desire for control, Dufour argues, is an illusion.
We're not as free as we think we are. We are subjects of the market, driven by desires that are manufactured. By advertising, social media, the whole cultural machine.
Instead of masters of our own destiny, we're controlled by the market.
And this control, it goes beyond just our economic choices. It shapes our values, relationships, our sense of self.
So the market has replaced religion in a way. It gives us meaning, purpose, even if it's shallow, unsatisfying.
Very insightful. And it explains why it's so hard to resist. It's not just about money. It's about our need for meaning, connection. So we need alternative sources of those things.
If we're all, as Dufour says, subjects of the market, how do we break free? How do we create a more just, sustainable world?
He doesn't offer easy solutions. The forces at play are huge, deeply ingrained. But change is possible. He points to several key areas.
Okay, where do we start?
First, a renewed commitment to reason, critical thinking. Their decline is a major contributor to our predicament.
If we don't think critically, we just absorb whatever we're told.
We're manipulated, we fall for propaganda, easy answers, we don't question the status quo. So it's about becoming more discerning.
Discerning about information, our own biases, willing to challenge our assumptions, have real dialogue with people who disagree.
Exactly. And this connects to a second point, education.
But not just traditional schooling.
No, broader. Not just knowledge, but critical thinking skills. Ethical awareness, self-reflection, cultivating the whole person.
If we want to change the system, we need to change ourselves first.
Precisely. Develop the inner resources, the critical awareness to imagine something different. And his third focus, a stronger sense of shared humanity.
That's the counter to this hyper-individualism, right?
Yes, this excessive individualism is self-defeating. Isolation, alienation, lack of concern for the common good.
We're all trapped in our own little bubbles.
We need to break out, reconnect on a deeper level. And culture is vital for this.
Shared experiences, understanding different perspectives, remembering we're part of something bigger.
Dufour believes we need a more vibrant, diverse, accessible cultural landscape to counteract the atomizing effects in the market.
Creating spaces where people can connect, share their stories, build bridges.
Exactly. The key to a more just, sustainable future. We need to move beyond self-interest, rediscover empathy, compassion, collective action.
That's a tall order.
It is. But Dufour's analysis is so compelling, so urgent, it's hard not to feel inspired. But before we wrap up this part, there's one more element. Postmodernity.
Yes. Postmodernity, complex, much debated.
For Dufour, it refers to the decline of grand narratives.
Grand narratives? What are those?
The overarching stories we tell about the world. Progress, reason, emancipation, the meaning of history.
Mm.
Like the Enlightenment idea, that we're on this upward trajectory.
Or the belief in science as the solution to everything.
Exactly. These grand narratives have lost their power. We're more skeptical, fragmented, aware of the complexities, contradictions.
A sense of disillusionment, like there's no clear purpose anymore.
And into this void, steps the market.
The market is the new grand narrative.
In a way, yes. It offers us values, a way to understand the world, even a sense of purpose. Even though it's limited, often destructive.
We've replaced the pursuit of truth, justice, beauty with the pursuit of profit.
And lost sight of what truly matters. Dufour sees this as one of the great tragedies. Enslaved to a system that prioritizes greed over the common good. We've lost touch with deeper values.
Bleak assessment, but I also sense some hope.
Yes, Dufour is critical, but he also sees opportunity. The collapse of old narratives creates space for new ones.
Stories that are, I don't know, more nuanced, inclusive, more attuned to our interconnected world.
And it's up to us to create them. To imagine, articulate a vision of the future worthy of our aspirations.
So not just resisting, but creating.
It's challenging, but exciting. We need to engage our intellects, but also our hearts, imaginations. Well, tap into our deepest values, aspirations, creative impulses.
Create a future worth living in.
Exactly. Where do we go from here? How do we turn these ideas into action? That's for the final part of our deep dive.
We've really gone deep with Danny Robert Dufour, haven't we? Explored Mandeville's idea, you know, those private vices leading to public benefits and how that's shaped our neoliberal world.
And Dufour's critique of it, this whole system, this call for, well, rethinking our values, everything, really.
Yeah, it's been, well, intense, but insightful for sure.
Yeah.
I see things differently now, I think. But that big question remains, you know, where do we go from here? How do we actually, like, put all this into action?
That's the question, isn't it? And I appreciate that Dufour doesn't offer, like, a simple recipe. He avoids those easy answers.
Makes us think for ourselves.
Exactly. Grapple with the complexity. Come up with our own solutions. It's not about waiting for someone else to fix it.
Taking responsibility,
yeah.
Right. Creating the world we want.
Precisely. And his analysis, it gives us a framework to understand the challenges and where we might, you know, intervene. Remember those conservatories he talked about?
The conservatories of knowledge and culture, yeah. Spaces for critical thinking, ethical awareness, all that. But I'm still not clear, what would they actually look like?
That's where our imaginations come in. He leaves it open. We have to envision, create these spaces in ways that fit our communities, our contexts.
So a collective project, then?
It is. Building the world, Dufour envisions. And there are already, you know, inspiring examples, community gardens, independent bookstores.
Oh, yeah, I see them.
Worker-owned cooperatives, grassroots groups fighting for justice, online platforms for dialogue, critical thinking.
Those are the building blocks.
Exactly. The seeds of a better world are already there. Maybe not always visible, but they're there.
So Dufour helps us see them, nurture them.
A call to action, but also a call to hope. We're not powerless. We can create a different future. And the stories we tell, they have power.
Speaking of stories, it's funny how he brings us back to Mandeville, you know, that 18th century guy. I have to admit, I was skeptical at first. Like, how could someone from so long ago be relevant now?
Remarkable, isn't it? But Mandeville, his ideas are, well, disturbing at times, but they offer insight into power, greed, human nature, timeless things, really.
And Dufour weaves it all together so well, the historical and the contemporary. It's challenging, but intellectually stimulating.
He connects those seemingly unrelated things. Consumerism, grand narratives, money. He makes us question everything we think we know about, well, individualism, progress, what makes a good society.
A real journey of discovery. But to bring it back to us, you know, individuals in this crazy world, what does it all mean?
Dufour is giving us a roadmap, principles to guide us. He's saying, become aware, you know, how the market shapes you, understand yourself, the world, resist those forces that are chipping away at our humanity.
Reclaiming our agency, right? Both as individuals and together.
To create a just, sustainable, meaningful world.
And he'd say this isn't just political, it's personal too.
Absolutely. Change starts with us. Looking at our own values, choices, complicity. Finding ways to live, well, more consciously, ethically.
Living in line with what really matters.
It's challenging but rewarding. As we cultivate ourselves, our critical thinking, ethical action, we become, well, more effective change makers.
So a call to action then, to step up, become the change we want to see.
And remember, we're not alone in this. So many others share our values, our hopes. By connecting, supporting each other, working together, we can be a force for change, greater than, well, than ourselves alone.
That's a great message to end on. And that wraps up our deep dive into Danny Rubber Dufour. Explore his work. Join us next time for another deep dive into, well, into the big ideas that matter.